God of creation, oh, speak to my heart today. When God speaks, wonderful things happen. When God speaks, many souls are blessed. May those blessings go round around, and the sweetest comfort every soul. Speak to my heart, speak now, I pray. Lord of salvation and God of creation, oh, speak to my heart today. God speaks, restoration happens. When God speaks, new life, new health and power. Broken hearts and lives are renewed. Bring all to me, I will restore, I will restore, I will restore all lost years and blessings unto you. I will restore to you today.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
His promise is to restore to us today.
Amen.
Amen. I will restore.
Amen.
Say the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
But it is to whosoever will. It is for those who desire. It is for those who want. God is going to restore.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
When I went to study in the UK, I had a Peugeot 504. In those days, it was elegant. Before I named it Jaguar because it works across Nigeria. So when I was glad, I'm not going to say that I'm going to pack it. So I pack it with my cousin. And I was away for 3 years and a half or so. I came back. Now what do I expect? The car was already rusty. So the car is not immediately useful. The car has to be restored before it was usable again. So that's where we get an idea of restoration. There are things that cause what you call degradation, that is what makes things to be useless. One is what is called the natural wear and tear. Even if I didn't park the car, from time to time you have to service it. So there is what is not natural wear and tear that makes our life need restoration. There are also environmental factors, because we are living in a cursed world, because of our interaction with sinners in this world, because you start to work for sinners, work with sinners, and then, you know, go and buy from sinners. Because of that interaction, you know, you need restoration.
Amen.
And then we need restoration sometimes because of your lack of sin. Some God will say, can't worm, caterpillar.
Oh.
to bring you to your senses. And then rain will not fall because you have refused to listen. That is, there is environmental induced degradation, there is personal induced degradation, and there is God sent punishment to bring you to your senses, to say, oh, I want restoration.
Yeah.
In any of this, I want to let you know that God is ready to restore.
Amen.
God is ready to restore.
Amen.
Now, if you go back to the car issue story, I didn't take that car to a watch repairer to fix. That is very wrong. Because a watch repair cannot fix the car. I did not take the car to a tailor to fix. He cannot do anything. He wants to sew clothes. So our life that means restoration must be given to the person who can restore.
Yeah.
So we have taken our life now to the maintenance workshop of the owner,
amen,
of the manufacturer.
Amen.
You know, God is the manufacturer of all of us.
Amen.
And all of us now, we have come to the maintenance workshop of the manufacturer.
Amen.
And why is it why is that important? Because the manufacturer has the design specification.
Yeah.
He has the spare parts.
Yeah.
He has the skill labels.
Yeah.
He has the know-how.
Yeah.
And he's ready to do it, yeah, to protect his name.
Yeah.
So we are out here now in Jesus' maintenance workshop.
Yeah.
I don't know for how long your life has been packed or used. I don't know how many times you have had brush and hit and run left and right, and the devil has made your life not desirable again. Now is the time for restoration.
Amen.
And just as I wanted that car restored, I want you to know that God wants your life restored.
Amen.
God wants your life restored.
Amen.
The only difference between you and my car is that you have a choice, but my car has no choice.
Yeah.
My car had no choice. When the mechanic was hitting it, he had no choice. But you have a choice.
Yeah.
That's why we are appealing to you. Let your choice be, I surrender, oh Lord.
Amen.
I want restoration.
Amen.
And God will restore you.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name. Let's go back again to where we read for our spiritual reading, Joel chapter 2, verse 25, to see the promise of God, because that is at the anchor. I will restore to you. That is the promise of God, the manufacturer who created you. The year that the locust has eaten, famine, sickness, COVID, the cankerworm and the caterpillars, the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. If God send them, God can stop them.
Amen.
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 If God send them, God can stop them.
Amen.
Because he has a power to make and break.
Amen.
And that's why you should come to God, who has a power over your life. He has a power over your enemies.
Amen.
And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed.
Amen.
The time of shame is over.
Yes.
God has come to make life easy for us.
Yes.
Looking into the dictionary, I tried to find out what is the meaning of restoration. And I consulted a website, dictionary. This is website 1828. That's one of the best authors of Bible relevant dictionary. You get four definitions of restoration. One, the act of replacing to a former state. To a former state. In restoration, you must know the former state, the target. Otherwise, you will not know what you are going into. Two, renewal or revival, the establishment as a restoring friendship of enemies. For you who are sinners, actually, I don't like to use that name. I like to use the word seekers. Those who are seeking the mercy of God, because sometimes you want me to protect your integrity. Yes, I call you seekers. What are you seeking for? You are seeking for salvation. You are seeking for sanctification, for the power of the Holy Ghost. You are seekers. By the way, all of us are seekers here, including me. I'm seeking something great from God.
Amen.
And God will not pass me by.
Amen.
I'm number one on the list. I hope you put your chair in front. And God is waiting.
Yes.
Just like the woman with the issue of blood, although she was at the back of the crowd, but she was number one on the list of blessing.
Amen.
She pressed away to be number one. And I pray that you will press away. Press through the crowd.
Yeah.
Press through the crowd of those who want to pray. Press through the crowd of those who want to joke. Press through the crowd of those who don't care. Press through the crowd. And be the first to touch.
Amen.
The hem of his garment.
Amen.
For salvation, for sanctification, for power of the Holy Ghost, for healing.
Amen.
Is waiting for you. The third definition is recovery. The law of health, soundness. No, there's something from sickness and insane. Somebody has said, and I agree 100%, there is nobody here who hasn't gotten one sickness or the other. Only our clothes is covering it. But God has said, that sickness, it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the type, Jesus Christ has come to heal you.
Amen.
Time has come for you to say, enough is enough.
Amen.
That I want my head back. I want my strength back. And God will restore.
Amen.
That's all of us, we are seekers. We want God to do something unique for us.
Amen.
And God will do it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now, the next question we ask ourselves, why do we need restoration? Why do we need restoration? We need restoration because we want to be fit for purpose. Fit for purpose. Say, let me hear. I want to be fit for purpose. Say it again. God created you for a purpose. You have to be fit for it. As a sinner, you are not fit for that purpose. You are not. As a person who is sick, who cannot even do anything, you are not fit for purpose. God wants you to be able to pursue that purpose. He wants to give you a heavy soul, in a heavy body, in a heavy, with a heavy attitude, to go and pursue that purpose.
Amen. Amen.
So the reason God wants to restore us is for us to be fit for purpose.
Amen.
God created us in his own image, and he had an advance. He made a plan in Jeremiah 29:11. I want to be fit for purpose. I want to be restored so that I will be fit for purpose. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. The thought of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Our God is the one that starts his journey from the end before he starts the beginning. You know, God has concluded your purpose before you are created.
Yeah.
That is, he has an assignment for you before your father even marry your mother. Before you are conceived, he has a purpose. And it's better than your mother. Because sometimes your mother may not even know why you are in the world for. He will even reject you. Sometimes say you are illegitimate. It is your father, your mother who is illegitimate. Once you are born, you are legitimate before God. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
The error is not yours. The only error is yours is to remain with that attitude. You are born of God, created of God for a purpose, specific purpose, to be fit for purpose.
Amen.
And in this meeting, may God restore
Amen.
Your thinking.
Amen.
Your life to know that you are born for God and for his purpose.
Amen.
So God has his end in your end in mind when he created you. So therefore, he wired into you what is called a spiritual DNA. He put some talent in you, some skill in you, some opportunities in you. He allowed to be trained in one way for that purpose.
Amen.
For that purpose.
Amen.
So you have to be restored to the original to be fit for purpose. And then you have to be restored to the original also for personal reasons. Because when you begin to reason, you want to be somebody in life. Because God begins to put in you that you don't want to be a reject, you don't want to be poor, you don't want to be a sinner. God is talking to you, unless you are not listening to him. So God wants to restore you now to what he meant for your life, so that you will not be a failure.
Amen.
You will be a person of influence. He wants to restore you because of collegialism. You don't want to be a bad word and the purpose with that person forget. People, you want God to restore you so that people will ponder that I thank God for his life.
Amen.
People will want to live a life like yours. They want to say, I want you to make me like this person because of the good thing coming out of your life. God wants to restore you.
Amen.
And most important, you know why God wants to restore you? You are God's investment. Say amen.
Amen.
You are God's investment.
Amen.
You see, God is more interested in your salvation than even yourself. Because he created you in his own image for a particular purpose. Now your life has been hijacked by the devil. He's not happy. And that is why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ before you were born to pay the price up front. So that by the time you want something, it's there. God doesn't work by a fire brigade. He's proactive. Proactively, he has made everything ready before you even need it. Glory be to God.
Amen.
So you are God's investment. Although you say, but I don't have a car, but you have a life.
Amen.
If you have life, that's the greatest investment.
Amen.
If your car is not going to heaven, but your life will go there.
Amen.
So you are God's investment. And he doesn't want you to be useless to him, to his kingdom, to your family, to the church of God. He wants you to be useful, to be fit for purpose. So he's interested in restoring you.
Amen.
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 God is interested in making you fit for purpose.
Amen.
So all things are ready. The owner has a workshop ready made. The owner has the spare part to fix your life.
Amen.
He has the skilled men who will preach the sound doctrine with anointing, with unction to help you to get restoration. Will you submit your life? I pray you do so and God will help you. Who can restore? We've made mention to this that it is the owner who can restore. You see? It's the owner who can restore. Let's go to Psalm 139 because he has a master plan for your life. It's in his hand. Psalm 139, I read from verse 15, verse 14, rather. Psalm 139 from verse 14. This is the psalmist, David. I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you agree?
Amen.
You are God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. 15. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul not very well. Do you even stand up in front of the room and say, oh Lord, I thank you for creating me as I am? Although somebody says sometimes it's not easy. I say, well, I know it's not easy because you have abused God's creation. You have abused. If you stand in the front of a mirror after you have bleached your body and then now you have consequences of using wrong cream, you won't be happy. If you stand in front of a mirror and you see that now you because of wrong diet, wrong friendship, you are a bad person, you won't be happy. But that is why you are here. Let us stand in front of the mirror of the word of God and that the owner will fix it.
Amen.
The owner will fix it.
Amen.
I think he will fix your life.
Amen.
We are going to see at the end of our discussion today that the prodigal son who went away, lost everything, when he came back, he was fixed.
Amen.
He was totally fixed.
Yes.
God will fix you.
Amen.
God will restore you.
Amen.
It's his interest. Our God has not gone anywhere. He's still going places. Come back home.
Amen.
Come to the workshop.
Amen.
Let him fix you. Everything that you need for your life to become, go back to the original, to the purpose is available.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
In verse 15, says, my substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in the secret and closely wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous fashion, when as yet there was none of them. Your liver, God has a name and he joined it.
Amen.
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 Your kidney,
amen.
Your heart, all the three bones of the ear, the three ossicles bones, all your intestine, the small, the large intestine. God has, he has a part list with him.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
There's some part of your body you will never see. God sees it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God sees it. Amen. You will never see them. Even when you are there, you will see them. But God sees them.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
So that's why God sees your heart.
Amen.
If you see the part of body you don't know, He knows them.
Amen.
Why don't you take everything to the person who sees everything?
Amen.
Who knows everything in the secret? He knows everything. When he was joining everything together, you were not there. In Joseph, were you there? You were not there. Now you are who you are by the grace of God. Fit for purpose. You have a purpose. God created for a purpose. This restoration committee is to restore you to the original state where you will be fit for God's purpose. And God will do it. So that is why he's the only one who can restore. He has the knowledge. And he is willing to do it.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he did what he gave. It's not just giving, it's a past tense. He already gave.
Yeah.
Christ paid. So Jesus to the whole world that whosoever
Amen.
Is a murderer, part of whosoever. Is somebody who has aborted, part of whosoever?
Yes.
Is somebody who is wayward, part of whosoever?
Yes.
Is a fornicator, part of whosoever?
Yes.
Is a fighter, part of whosoever?
Yes.
Is a thief, part of whosoever?
Yes.
It makes you.
Amen.
It makes you.
Amen.
It includes you.
Amen.
God has you covered.
Amen.
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 You know, it will be your fault if you don't take that as an advantage. He wants to restore you to be fit for purpose. You are not created to be useless. No. You are not created to be a thief, a fornicator. No, no, no. The enemy has done this. But thank God, the restorer is in town.
Amen.
The restorer has come.
Amen.
It is restoration time.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. Then, who cannot be restored? In the story I told you, my car was there for 3.5 years. Sun, moon, and sun, rain was in there. They park it outside. They didn't put it. There's nothing to put it in the garage. They park it. The best they could do was to put a tarpaulin upon it. Rain will come, it will beat it. Sun will come, and that's all. It has no choice, but not you. You have a choice. Let me ask, do you have a choice?
Amen.
Do you have a choice?
Amen.
Do you have a choice?
Amen.
Glory be to God. In Matthew chapter 9, you have to put yourself in that situation. Because if you don't desire, if you don't want it, you can't get it.
Yeah.
If you want this restoration, you can get this restoration.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 9, I will read verse 12. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So that's the first condition for restoration. You have to see yourself that I'm not well. This is not what I want. Because as long as you enjoy what you are doing, you can't change. And why do you enjoy what you are doing? Why do you change what you enjoy? But remember, there's a way that smells right unto a man. The end of it is death. You better consider the consequences of your choice of your life. Because your life tomorrow is determined by your choice today. And all that distance is not good. You know, sometimes I take interest when I walk, I go into the mall. When I go into the mall, I take interest to see, to take some demographic statistics. And pardon me, because sometimes, but this is very easy to use the ladies. So, you will see some ladies wearing 6 inches high issue. Then, there be an old and a middle-aged woman. The heel is gone down now.
Yeah.
It used to be 6 inches, now it is only 1 inch.
Yeah.
And the speech, you know, the ladies, they walk across the crotchet. Chak, 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 chak. Then the middle age is no longer crotchet, it's meaning now. It's just walking like that. There are ladies. Then the old pensioner like myself, is flat shoe now. You see them flat shoe, you know, and they walk semi-brief, one leg at a time. So you better watch. Unless you don't want to grow old, you will soon be like them. Don't waste your youth. The Bible said rejoice. Yeah. Wear your 6 inches and nothing should be weighed. Maybe one don't wear it, but remember your God. Remember, you will not be young forever.
Yeah.
You will not be a student forever.
Yeah.
You will not be young forever.
Yeah.
Why don't you prepare for the old age?
Yeah.
Why don't you prepare for heaven?
Yeah.
It's time now to get restored so that you can face today very well and prepare for tomorrow.
Amen.
God created it to fit for the fit for purpose. God will help you.
Yeah.
That is why we are in this maintenance workshop. Do you want it? Are you sick? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then come to the workshop.
Amen.
You are in the workshop.
Yeah.
You submit yourself.
Yeah.
As I told you, my car had some bashing. Particularly when they were working on the brake. You know the brake, they say, this brake pipe is wrong. It will be removed. I said, there's nothing. No. There's no. I said, brake is the first thing. And anyway, they started from the engine. They started from the engine. The engine must be rehabilitated because if the engine is not good, the car is useless.
Yeah.
And that's what God is going to do. He will start restoration from the head. You know, you are told in the morning, your head is very important. Not only marriage, but out of the heart of man, God proceeds everything. God will start from your heart to save your soul. And it will go down to the break. It will go down to every part of your body. So surrender. When the word of God is hammering, give up. Don't struggle. Look, let me tell you a secret. If you don't want to take long in prayer, surrender in time. Go already surrender before you do. It won't take a long time. Why will God take a long time to save you? He has been waiting for you. He's standing at the door of your heart. It's not him waiting. It's not him getting to save you. It is you. Will I enter? No. Will I enter? No. Okay, one leg in. Another leg out. Okay, can I enter? And I say, but your body is outside. So the word of God will come like hammer. Let it hit your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It will come like fire. Let it burn the child.
Amen.
It will come like the rain. Let it bring hope again.
Amen.
I hope you understand those three things. The word of God is hammer. Don't break your stony heart. Surrender. When the word of God is coming to break that stone, I surrender. Say, hit me. I agree.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And after the word of God has done that, it's like fire to burn those useless things, to purify.
Yeah.
Just surrender. Yes, my desire is purified. It is purified.
Amen.
And then finally, it's like the rain. You know what the rain? Bring life again.
Amen.
Make your life to grow, to produce, to be as desired. You are in the workshop, restoration workshop.
Amen.
Surrender.
Amen.
Don't struggle with God. You will need to take your time because he's been waiting for you. The time it takes is the time it takes to surrender.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The time it takes to pray to salvation is the time it takes to surrender.
Amen.
Because the price already paid. Okay? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Who is to be restored? You must realize your position. You hear the start of hope. You want a new life. And you have a better vision for your life. And you are willing and obedient. Everything summarized in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1. This is the summary of the person who can be restored. What you need to do. Verse 19. Okay, let's start from verse 18. Say, come now, let us listen together, says the Lord. What a wonderful invitation. What a wonderful invitation. I don't know how many of you, have met one-on-one with the president of your country. And when the president of your country said, come anytime, I don't think there's anybody here who has a standing invitation. To the president of your court, you can come anytime, by day or by night. Let's sit down one to one. Is there anyone here?
No.
But here is the president of the whole world,
yeah.
The maker of the whole world.
Yeah.
Come as you are, anytime. You know, he doesn't sleep by day, he doesn't sleep by night. It's not on a journey like babe. It's not busy. It's, you know, Sandra is never busy. Your appointment, as soon as you bear his number, is waiting for you.
Yeah.
Come, let us listen together. Tell me. He knows already. He knows your problem, but it is the law of God that you must confess to possess.
Amen.
You must ask to receive.
Amen.
You must seek to find.
Yeah.
You must knock to get. That's the law of God.
Yeah.
That's the law of God.
Yes.
To make you owners, to allow you to own your blessing, to be and to have a major stakeholder in your blessing. So there's no much time. But God doesn't give you like that. He wants you to show that, yes, you pray, you Amen. Desire it.
Yes.
Because something you don't desire, when you get it, you will misuse it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So he said, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Then, in verse 19, if you be willing and obedient,
yeah.
willingness is important.
Yeah.
As I said, three battles, you won one already, and we're in the second one now. I pray you will win every of your battles.
Amen.
Willingness is very important. Desire. See, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, whatsoever, which is covered by grace, whatsoever, provided by atonement, whatsoever,
yeah.
ever, you add the desire. When you pray, God will grant it unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Then I'm obedient. What is obedience? Obedience, action of faith. What is faith? Faith is walking by the word of God. So obedience, therefore, is obeying what the word of God has said. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Total restoration. No more hunger. No more suffering. No more sickness. Obedience. Willingness with obedience. We open with is there is your gateway to super abundance of God.
Amen.
But look at the coronary, the danger out of it. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I like to say that without deterrent, a law is just an advice. You understand me? The law of God comes with deterrent. The grace of God comes with deterrent. Grace has no meaning without judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Grace has no meaning without judgment. If government makes law, there's no enforcement agent. Nobody will obey.
Yeah.
Nobody. So that's why the mercy of God comes with a deterrent. The deterrent that if you fail, this is the consequence. So one door and only one yet is set at two. This is mercy. Say, choose mercy. Choose restoration. Don't stay where you are. Where you are is the way of sorrow, of sickness, and total loss in hell. Why don't you choose mercy today? God will bless you.
Amen.
So, as we go towards the end of our discussion, what is to be restored, therefore? What are we? There are many things to be restored, you know, but I'm just going to tell you one or two or three things that have to be restored, particularly after the COVID. The first thing is foundation. Foundation is important. Foundation is friendship with God.
Amen.
Some of us, because of the COVID, we've lost our foundation. We are now on a false foundation. What do we have to do? We have to do the first work. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. This is where restoration must start from. The challenges have made you to compromise your spiritual integrity. Do not assume you are saved. Do not assume you are saved. I read verse 5. Remember therefore, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. That is the beginning of restoration. We will need to restore the foundation. We are going to hear more of that during this meeting. But the rest, the foundation must be restored. Because if the foundation be destroyed, that is in Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing. First thing you must make sure that get the foundation restored.
Yeah.
Amen. And God's so good, the building materials are here, which is the sound doctrine.
Yeah.
The Bible says, if you lay your life on this sound doctrine, don't worry about the wind. The wind will come anyway. You can't, don't pray away the wind. It will come. The storm will come. The rain will come. So you don't need to pray about that. What you pray about is you are ready for the wind. You must do the first work first. And don't forget again the deterrent. When you read the promise of God, there's already the second side of it. The other side of the coin. The every promise of God has got the second side. Most of you don't read the first side. You must read the second side for you to know the punishment that awaits you. What is the second side? Or else I will come unto you quickly. I will remove thy candle. Stick out of his place, except thou repent. So repent. Get restored.
Amen.
Get your foundation right.
Amen.
And God will bless you.
Amen.
The other thing that must have been affected is our communication with God, which is our prayer life. Our prayer life. Our prayer life. Because there's mask in your mouth, you have to be far away. You know, are you praying? Yes. Who are you receiving? Time has come for restoration.
Amen.
If you take your mask, go far away where you can remove your mask and talk to God.
Amen.
There is a reason why. It's when you speak out, it goes into your ear and you hear yourself again. That is the essence of prayer.
Amen.
You pray out, it goes out, it comes into your ear, you hear yourself again. It has a lot of influence on your soul when you begin to hear yourself again. You know, see our nursing mother there. You see, they are always very happy. Particularly when they give birth and the baby is making noise, they are happy.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
When the baby says, Papa, Mama, what happened to you? You increase, you become happier, isn't it? And the day when you say, I'm hungry. And that's the first prayer. I'm hungry. Before, the baby will be using sign language when it's hungry. It will be crying. That is only to show you hungry. It's crying. Later on, mommy, I want biscuit. You begin to be happy. My boy is asking me something now. How will you feel if you have a boy or a girl? 20 years, he's coming for you. Good morning. How are you? And he's crying. What is wrong with you? He just crying. What is wrong? What do you want? If God is your father, you can talk to him. Talk to him.
Amen.
That's the importance of prayer.
Yeah.
This COVID has bastardized prayer life. Get restored.
Amen.
Quality prayer. Get restored.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, and God will do that.
Amen.
So, James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Ye ask and seek not because ye ask amiss that may consume it upon your lusts. So, how do you solve the issue of asking amiss? Or how do you ask correctly? That's the issue. And this is why, pay attention, that the word of God will help your prayer life. Because if you don't support your prayer life with the word of God, you'll be full of complaints.
Yeah.
Your prayer life will be complaints. By the way, you know, when Anna went to the temple to go and pray, and God was going to restore him, her. Do you know she was praying? She did not even make mention of Elena. I hope you know. She did not even make mention of Elkanah. As far as she's concerned, that is not, those were not issues. But if you don't know the word of God, you'll be praying about human beings.
Amen.
You'll be remembering somebody offended me. This one doesn't greet me. This one doesn't help me. That's all you need. Those are complaints, not prayers. So that's why we now have to go back to the word. The word of God will help our prayer life. That's another thing to be restored. The study of the word of God must be restored. Feed on the word and look into the word of God daily. Feed not only on meat, but also on bone. Job chapter 23. Much as prayer is important, your prayer life will never be effective unless your word life is strong.
Yeah.
I repeat, the word of God will help you to pray correctly.
Yeah.
It will let you know that you are not fighting against flesh and blood. Is it maturity to be thinking and to be talking about human being your prayers? No. So let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the Bible, and the Bible is going to help us. Reference is Job 23. Yes. Job 23, verse 12. Excuse me. 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed his words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. I want to appeal to all of us, let's get back to the Bible.
Amen.
Not reading it just to satisfy your idle curiosity or to satisfy your group. Have you read it? I have read it. Go study, meditate. Our Bible study of recent talk about meditation. Meditate upon the word of God. Let the word read you. My pastor said, you read the word? I said, yes. Has it read you? Has the Bible read you? Because when you read the word and you meditate, the Bible will lead you.
Okay.
You'll be able to see yourself in the mirror of the word of God.
Yes.
And you make adjustments. Then God will be able to restore. God, look, this generation has no excuse. If people like Abraham, Bible was not written in his day, it was oral tradition, he believed it. Moses, Bible was not written in his day. He was one of the first to start writing the Bible. When God said, put it down, write it for the next generation. It was during the time of Moses was telling them, write it for the next generation. All his sojourn, 80 years of his life, no Bible. No. And yet he kept to the word of God.
Yeah.
But now you have the Bible. You know, when I was young, the day I got a personal Bible, I was so happy. It was very expensive. But now all of you have Bible on your cell phone. Your judgment will be hot, my brother and sister, because the Bible is given to you on the platter of gold.
Yeah.
Get back to the Bible, because it's going to help us to pray.
Amen.
It's going to help us to be the friend of God. Another thing to be restored is our services. Well, because it's virtual now, the time church begins at 9 o'clock, he wakes up at 8:30. And then the pajama is still there, he put computer, put it online. It's half naked in front of the microphone. Sister, give us memory verse. The sister is on, the phone is here. He's in the back now, but put on the phone so that it's online. We have deceived ourselves too much.
Yeah.
Let's not be honest.
Amen.
Let's not be honest.
Amen.
Time to get to church in time.
Amen.
Let's not be honest.
Amen.
Time to pray.
Yeah.
When the service finish online, you are waiting for who's praying. When he's not there, he's already making shasha to eat. He's not praying. Time has come to pray.
Amen.
And this is why we encourage you when the service is over, make this altar your friend.
Amen.
Make the altar of your friend.
Yes.
Pray.
Amen.
And God will answer.
Amen.
Time has come for us to destroy our service. When there was no coronavirus, there are teamwork. You come for team. You clean the back. Even to get the usher to do the work. No. There's restriction. Tell me, how will the church of God move when the usher don't come to church in time? When you don't pay your tithe, how are we going to pay for electricity? How are we going to pay for water? How are we going to maintain the infrastructure? How will the gospel move forward?
Amen.
Time of sleeping is gone.
Amen.
Time to get restored in your service to God.
Amen.
Your service consists of your physical presence, your emotional presence, and your financial presence.
Amen.
We pray that God will restore you economically.
Amen.
Amen. God will restore you economically.
Amen.
God will restore you economically.
Amen.
That's why you must pray. There are many things to pray for. The first one is the foundation, but I know you have other things. But pray that your service life will be restored.
Amen. Amen.
2 years of laziness. Don't let 10 years of hard work, it doesn't need 10 years of hard work again. Let it be 1 month, 1 month that I must come back. And it takes determination.
Amen.
It takes what? Determination.
Amen.
And you don't like to wake up on Sunday morning. Don't worry, I'm going to join online. Don't worry, you are still on your bed. And the sermon is going on. As I was going here, amen. And then you sleep. And you wake up again. Oh, the sermon is still on. So time has come for restoration.
Amen.
Remember, God is not mocked.
Yeah.
Whatsoever a man sow, that and only that he will live.
Yeah.
But not one to one, it's one to many. Because the fruit of your work is more than what you sow.
Yeah.
The fruit, the seed, the harvest is more than the seed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The harvest is more than the seed.
Amen.
What you do, it doesn't matter. When the seed come, it will multiply.
Amen.
So that's why we have a restoration time.
Yeah.
God wants to restore us. So what's our responsibility? We have two responsibilities. We have to overcome the internal challenges and external challenges. What are the internal challenges? Our complacency. And we have become complacent when we do things. We are very complacent now. Let's get rid of internal complacency.
Yeah.
That is the most difficult one. Because to conquer Mount Everest, you must conquer yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to. You have to make up your mind. When it's time for prayer, I will pray. That is why we say, unmute your mic and pray and play.
Yeah.
If you are online, unmute your mic, pray, make sure you pray.
Yeah.
And where you even attend online, should be disciplined. It's not you have one baby on one hand and that baby on one hand and you are not listening to someone. The environment online should show that you are in the church.
Yes.
Yeah, show you are in the church.
Amen.
Reference to that. Now Jesus is here.
Yeah.
You know the question you put on your phone and then begin to do something else. Let's discipline ourselves. The devil is happy, he's laughing at us. When we can't pray, we can't read the word of God, we can't say, what is the meaning of you? What is the meaning of you? You can't pray, you can't study the Bible. They say, do you know your memory verse? Who will answer this question? Nobody. It's only the same person every time. Where is sister? Meme, where are you? Your mic is on. Are you there? This network. It's not network. It is your spiritual network. Let's get up. But we must be ready to overcome our internal complacency.
Amen.
It begins with you. Let the word of God like the hammer hit you and say, now it's time to be serious.
Amen.
Because now is time when our salvation is nearer than when we first began. Then the other one is external challenges, which is normal. There's nothing you can do about external challenges. They are always there. There will be the Sambalat and Tobias who will tell you what you are doing amounts to nothing. There are those who will intimidate you. There are those who will complain about you. I wish you have time to talk about that. The Sambalat and Tobias, external aggression, and how Nehemiah was able to overcome.
Yeah.
Go and read it
in
Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Those are external challenges, but he has overcome his internal resistance towards restoration. That is why he was able to withstand external aggression towards restoration. So your duty in this meeting is to say, I must be restored in my spirit.
Yeah.
So that when you meet external challenges, you say, no, you are too late.
Yeah.
Go and hide. No, I'm not hiding.
Yeah.
And they are coming, so they can come.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to display the sword and space strategy. You walk and fight at the same time.
Yeah.
This is the time for us to walk and fight.
Amen.
Not the time to run away.
No.
God will help us.
Amen.
And to illustrate this issue of the total restoration. Let's go back to the story of the prodigal. I know you know the narratives, but let us see how it affects you. Let us see how it affects you. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. From verse 11. I'm not going to read the narrative because you all know the narratives. But let us see how it affects us. You see, this man, it was his choice to go out.
Yeah.
And I said, you have a choice.
Yeah.
Say, I have a choice.
Yeah.
To stay or to go out. You know, the father did not force him to stay.
No.
And God will not force you.
Yeah.
But he's appealing to you.
Amen.
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 You have a choice. This young man made a wrong choice. It is self-inflicted injury.
Yeah.
He self-inflicted injury, and when he went out, he met a superior. He met those who are smarter than him.
Yeah.
He met those who know how to convince him more.
Yeah.
And they got everything from him.
Yeah.
When everything is finished, they abandoned him.
Yeah.
Do you want to wait until you're abandoned? No. It's good for you to ask for restoration.
Amen.
I wish that the first time he got a bloody nose, say, let me go home. But he was still stubborn.
Yeah.
He was still stubborn. Don't be stubborn.
Yeah.
He lost all. He lost food. He lost money. He lost friends. He lost job. He lost hope. But except one thing, which he didn't lose, his life. Glory be to God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, all of you have life. That's why you are here.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You have not lost all.
Yeah.
If you have life, you have not lost all.
Yeah.
Where there is life, there is hope for the amendment of life.
Yeah.
You cannot make a U-turn.
Yeah.
Don't go and beg for pig's food before you make a U-turn. Don't walk naked before you make a U-turn. Let God restore you today.
Amen.
He will restore you.
Amen.
But he came to his wit's end and he made a decision to go back to the original home, to go and be fit for purpose.
Yeah.
Remember? He was fit for purpose in his father's house. Now he wants to go back and be fit for purpose, but not as a right now, but as a privilege.
Yeah.
You know? Before he had a right.
Yeah.
But he said, let me go back now, not as a right, but as a privilege. But when he got back, he was not accepted as a pretty person, but as a right.
Yeah.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
I hope you understand this.
Amen.
I wish you understand this.
Amen.
That is restoration.
Yes.
When God will restore you, you will think it's a privilege for your own side, but as far as God is concerned, you are it's your right.
Amen.
To live right is your right.
Yes.
To live as God, to fit into God's purpose is your right.
Amen.
To have access into the throne room of God, to have access to God's superabundance is your right.
Amen.
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 He came to his wit's end and he made a U-turn. Then he followed a decision to a logical conclusion. You see, he followed a decision to a God by paying a price. Do you know the price he paid? Please listen to me. Salvation is free, the price is fully paid.
Amen.
But there's a price you must pay. What is the price? Humility. What do I call it?
Yes.
Humility. What do I call it?
Humility.
Because if you are proud, God will look at you afar off. But if you're humble, what will God do? He will come to you. He will run. Can you see the father? The Bible says the father ran. He ran. That's what God will do. Humble yourself.
Amen.
Humble yourself in the presence of God so that he will lift you up, he will restore you.
Amen.
It takes humility to agree with the word of God.
Yeah.
And what is the meaning of definition of humility? What God is right.
Yeah.
That is the simplest definition. God is right, I'm wrong.
Amen.
What God says is right. I accept. No question, no query.
Yeah.
Why don't you just humble yourself and say God is right? The Bible is correct. Believe it, and then it will work for you.
Amen.
So he paid that price. That is the price he paid. He now humbled himself. My friend, you know, it is little humility for him to say, I'm going back home now. Because when he was going, he was saying, bye-bye, see you, bye-bye. No, I'm not coming back. The father was there, the door is open for you. He said, no, nobody, I'm gone, bye-bye, daddy. Yeah. Now he's coming back. No shoe, no clothes, yeah. He's hungry, maybe what he has not eaten. Then he prayed before prayer, amen. And that's what I want you to do now. Begin to pray in your heart. What are you going to pray about today? Begin to pray now. He has prayed. Heaven has answered his prayer before he even got his father. Heaven has answered his prayer before he got his father. Before you get on your knee, heaven would have answered. Today is my day. Then let this man finish in time. He's wasting my time. I must get on the altar today. I will settle it now. It won't take me time. I must be saved now. I must be sanctified. I must be. God will do it. I said the time it takes to be saved is the time it takes to be serious and surrender. That's the time. So he prayed before in the presence of his. He prayed before and then in the presence of his father, who was more ready to restore him. You know, he was more ready to restore him, and God restored him. The father restored him. Listen to the restoration, because this is going to be your restoration. One. Relationship was restored.
Amen.
And he got more than he bargained for.
Amen.
He wanted to be a servant. The father said, no, you are still my son.
Amen.
Although you've wandered far away, you are still God's son. If you come home. But if you are out, you are lost. If you come home, you are still son. So God will restore you today. If you can come back home, come back on your knee and agree that you are wrong and God is right, God will restore you. The relationship was restored, not as a servant, but as a son. Food, the bread, you know, he himself testified, servants have enough bread and to spare.
Yeah.
You know, when you come back to God, you have more than you need.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
This time of restoration is a time of to have enough bread and to spare.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. If you allow God to restore you to a proper relationship, you will have more than enough and to spare. That was the testimony of the prodigal. So when he was still there, I said, in my father's house, there is no servant have enough and even to spare, not to talk of the son. Restoration is to have more than enough in Jesus Christ's name. And there was a big party, a celebration of restoration. Today, I pray the celebration of restoration. In three places. Do you know when you are saved? You will celebrate.
Amen.
You'll be happy.
Amen.
You will know.
Amen.
You know when you are saved? The church of God be happy.
Amen.
We will celebrate. But the greatest celebration is in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The greatest celebration is in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The greatest celebration is in heaven.
Amen.
Let me give you one personal testimony. You know, when I went to the college, when you travel, some of you have this experience, you travel outside and you are coming back, you bring your box on your head. As you begin to approach the compound, people know you, they're happy. Hey, he has come. And then they follow you to your mother's house. Who is happier? Who is happiest? Your mother sees you. Ah, if you dance without a drum, if you just say, hey, welcome, this is my son, this is my daughter. Heaven will be happier than all of us.
Amen.
Let there be celebration in three places. In your heart, in the church, and in heaven.
Amen.
That is what happened when this restoration, that is the type of restoration we want. Okay? What are the dress? It was tattered. New ones. How much did you pay for it? Nothing. That is what is working for you. God will clothe you. God will give you food and raiment. And the Bible says, food and raiment, you are all you need. God will clothe you. God will give you food and raiment. He will cover your nakedness. He will cover you with garment of righteousness. So that is the restoration we are asking for. What of shoe? A new shoe was given to him. Shoe of responsibility. That now you have a new shoe, not to go as a servant, to be begging in a pig's pen, but to walk in the palace of the king. To march like this in the palace of the king. Like my young people, they walk, you know. When you buy, and I'm sure you have seen, when you buy a new shoe for young people, Have you seen? And then he said, no, nowhere today, you go to church. Ah, okay, then on Sunday morning they wake up, they put on this shoe. When they see their friend, they want the friend to see the man's shoe, That's what, will give you an issue of responsibility. You can walk around in the palace of the king, so that you will not be ashamed again. God bless you. And then authority was given to him. This is very important. Authority. God will restore authority.
Amen.
Because where the word of the king is, there's authority.
Amen.
Most of us, when this time we have been bastardized by fear. Hey, fear here. I'm going to die today. I'm going to die tomorrow. Now authority will restore.
Amen.
You have authority.
Yes.
You see, I give you power or authority over all the power of the enemy.
Yes.
Nothing shall by enemies hurt
yes.
you.
Yes.
God is going to restore authority.
Yes.
God is going to restore your confidence as a child of God.
Amen.
You are able to believe that God can do it.
Yes.
You know? Because of things that happen around, we have lost instinct, we have lost confidence that God can do. He can do the impossible. I tell you, our God is on the throne.
Amen.
For him, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
He said with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
God is going to restore that
Amen.
Authority.
Yes.
That you believe that nothing is impossible.
Amen.
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 He can raise the dead. He can open the eye of the blind.
Yes.
He can can make the dog to speak. He will do it for you.
Amen.
The authority.
Amen.
Restoration of authority.
Amen.
That you are not a son of a beggar. You are
Amen.
The son of the living God.
Amen.
That authority be there.
Yes.
Then fellowship. You know? Fellowship was restored.
Yeah.
And this is very well. God will restore you to the fellowship of the children of God.
Amen.
But not without a but. There will always be somebody, there will always be an elder brother who will complain.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Get right before you meet the elder brother.
Yeah.
What do I say? Get restored before you meet the elder brother.
Yeah.
You, because the elder brother is waiting for you. Sambalat is waiting for you, but get restored first.
Amen.
God's restoration will silence the elder brother. Recall that the prodigal son was not fighting with the elder brother. Who was fighting on his behalf? His father.
Yeah.
God will defend you. God will defend you. After God has restored you, and things begin to flow in your life again, and the elder brother begin to complain. Don't worry. Don't leave the elder brother with God. Leave the elder brother with God. Get a restoration that does not allow you to hear what the elder brother is saying. And finally, economic activity was restored. He can now go around, he can trade, he can do all things. He's now on equal ground as if he lost nothing. That is restoration. Today's your day. Today's my day. Do you want to be restored? You want to pray? These altars are for prayers. These altars are for prayers. And God will do it. The ball is in your court.
I can bring the next, as I finish song, you can come to the altar,
252, okay. 252, gospel song 252. In the meantime, the altar is open as you sing. Come to the altar, come and pray. The children of God will sing 252. The altar is open, come and pray. Thank you. Come and pray, it's time for full restoration. Come and pray, it's time for full restoration while we sing.
Once more, my soul, I give up to the world with all my own and faith. And now, O Lord, my heart and heart beside shall I accept all of thee. I will.
Father, I want to thank you this morning. You have brought the spirit of restoration. We have come to realize how we fail, how we came short, how we became negligent, but now you have given us an opportunity. Lord, grant us thy mercy. We know you are in our midst. You have called this conversation that we can come to be restored. We thank you, Lord, because you are already working in our midst. Thank you, Lord. We accept your grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.